Well, good afternoon to everyone. No, it's not afternoon. It's good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning to everyone. I want to thank Lauren for that special music. It was very nice. I remember when I was a boy, I took piano lessons, and I had to go in front of people when I was young and play the piano. And it's always a thrill when you make an error. The teacher always said, just keep playing. Most people won't ever hear it. But it was very nice, and I'm very thankful that she's able to do that. And I hope she continues to give special music once in a while, whenever it suits her. My title of my sermon today is 40 Days. That's right, just 40 days. A message for us. Today I like to look at what Christ taught his disciples after he was resurrected. From the time he was resurrected until he ascended 40 days later, and 10 days after that was Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. I used A.T. Robinson's book, The Harmony of the Gospel. I took his, well, he had it in order, and we'll go through those scriptures that he had, and then we'll take points that we can apply to our lives. So, if you would, turn to Matthew 28, 9 and 10. 28, 9 through 10. Of course, Christ was risen. He appears to the, as Mr. Cole was stating in the last sermon, he appears to, and he proved that the resurrection was true on the last day of unleavened bread, the last sermon we heard. But here, listen, look what is stated here in Matthew 28, 9 through 10. It says, and they went to tell his disciples, that was the ladies that went there first to the tomb. Behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So the first thing he says to them is rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. They recognized who he was. Then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So he tells them not to be afraid. Why would that be an issue, not to be afraid? Well, it's very possible they were fearful for their own lives after their death of Jesus Christ. So they were probably fearful for that, and he told them, don't be fearful. I'm with you. Go and tell my brethren I'll meet you at a certain place. Now let's go to Luke 24, Luke 24, 13. And we'll start in verse 13 in Luke 24, 13. Notice what it says here. It says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to the village of Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they talked together of all those things which had happened, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went unto them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know that it was him. So they didn't recognize it. And he said to them, listen to what he says. What kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are so sad? So he asked them why. And then one of those named was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which have happened there these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth and who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all his people. And how the chief priests, as we know, and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we are hopeful that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came and said that they had also seen a vision of an angel who said he was alive. And a certain of those who were with them went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then Jesus stated this, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he told them they were foolish. He told them what was going to happen, yet they didn't believe. They didn't believe what they were going to go through. He rebuked them. And why did he do that? He did it because they didn't remember the things he told them. They doubted. They were doubtful. sometimes we can ask the question, then I ask the question of myself, why am I so slow to believe? I do that in times of my life. Are we like that at times? Do we make excuses to do so we don't have to change the life that we live in? Perhaps that was what Christ was telling them. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. If you keep reading down. Let's go to Mark 16 now. Mark 16, 12. It's the next scripture that was in Robertson's in coordination or as the events took place. Mark 16, verse 12. Notice what it says here. So they brought it, and he said to them, whose image am... Nope, that's the wrong verse. Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. In verse 13 of chapter 16 of Mark, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those things, those who had seen him after he had risen. They didn't believe the people. They didn't believe them. Same concept. Same idea. They didn't believe. He was rebuking them. All right, let's go to John 20. John 20, verse 19. Once I was studying this, you know, I've never particularly studied this issue, this subject, the 40 days after Christ. And it's interesting what he tells us to do, what he told his disciples to do, and since we are future disciples, he's telling us what we're going to be doing. Let's go to John 20, verse 19 through 21. Notice what it says here. Then the same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week, when the doors were all shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And if you'll see that words, peace be with you, he does that a lot of times when he comes to see them the first time. Peace. Because they were probably fearful. They thought, who is this really Jesus Christ, or is this just something else? They weren't sure. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So he told them who they were. He explained, this is me, really me. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. In verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. So, God the Father sent Jesus Christ to the world. And now Jesus Christ was going to send the disciples to the world. Just as he's telling us the same thing. He's going to send us to the world. Since we are future disciples. Let's go to John 21 now, verse 3. John 21, verse 3, just down a few placed on your page, the next page over. And notice what it says here. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also, some of the others said. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught absolutely nothing. Didn't catch anything. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And notice what he says. Then Jesus said to him, children, have you any food? Did you catch any fish? They answered, no. They didn't catch a thing all night. They were probably depressed. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish that were there. So can you relate and remember something he taught them before about catching fish? Yes, there's something else that took place. Let's go back to Luke 5 and verse 1 through 10. And what did he tell them in Luke 5 verse 1 to 10? Do you remember? When they caught all their fish, when he was first teaching them and calling them to become disciples? We'll read it if you don't remember. Luke 5, 1 to 10. Notice what he said to them. Here he says, so it was in the multitude passed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, whatever that name is, G-E-N-N-E-S-A-R-T. That's the name of the lake. and saw two boats standing by the water, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. So there was a mass multitude there at that time. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and the net was breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And it came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. There were so many fish, but they hadn't caught anything that whole night before. Same incident that he talked about when he was resurrected. When Simon saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also when James and John, the son of Zebedee, were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to them, notice what he says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when you go back to John, verse 21, and he tells them to cast the net into the right side of the boat, you will find some. So they cast it and they found a multitude of fish. He wasn't talking about the fish. They were relating and remembering what had happened in the past and how he had said they will be fishers of men. So the lesson was they will be fishers of men. They will teach Jesus Christ's truth to the world. Let's drop down now to verse 7 of the same John 21. It says, "Therefore the disciples whom the Lord said love." Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, yeah, it was when he came on the shore, he took off his outer garments, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging in the net full of fish. Peter does the same thing as he did all the time. He's always gung-ho. Doesn't think, just jumps right in. Some of us are like that, some of us aren't. Some of us grab the bull by the horns, and other people like to take longer and think about it. That's nothing wrong with that. But Peter's one of those guys, looked at this mean bull or whatever, and just jumped right in the water. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to him, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of a large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net did not break. Verse 12, "And Jesus said to him, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, 'Who are you?' And they all knew it was the Lord." They all recognized him that time. And they understood the lesson he was teaching them, that they would be fishers of men. Now let's drop down to verse 15. Verse 15, he says, "When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know I love you,' he said to him. Now, don't you remember back, if you go back, when he was going to be crucified, he said, 'I won't deny you,' Peter says, and he denies him three times. When he gets to this statement, he's telling Peter, "I'm going to repeat this to you again, and I want to make sure you get it this time." And then he says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." Why did he use the word "feed my lambs"? Well, "feed my lambs" could refer to teach the little ones, the children in the congregation, or the people in the world, or teach the new ones in the faith. He's telling Peter to teach them. And then to notice the next one he says. He said to him again the second time, "Son of Jonas, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." Take care of the people. Take care of them. And then he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, just like he was the third time, he said, "Well, you won't deny me three times." Same thing. Peter's the same personality. And he says, "Do you love me?" And he said to him in verse 17, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So he's to teach to the people. the disciples were to teach to the people they were going to come in contact with. So it was, they were supposed to teach the little ones, the young ones and the new. They were to, he would take care of the people that are called and come to them, and he was to teach the people, just like we are to do with the people we come in contact with. Let's go to 1 Peter 5, verse 2 and 4. 1 Peter 5, verse 2 and 4. Notice what it says in 1 Peter 5, 2 to 4. It says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. And then he notice these words, how they were to shepherd the flock. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. So they were to be serving, they were to be willingly doing it, not for dishonest gains, but for eagerly. They're wanting to do it. Nor being lorded over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. So he gave them three things that are stated how they're to teach the people. They're to serve them, they're to do it willingly and eagerly, full of eagerness, and being an example, and don't lord over them. Let them make their own decisions. Teach it to them and let them make their own decisions. Was that something Christ taught them? Yes, it was. Go back to Matthew 20, verse 25. Look what Christ taught them in Matthew 20 and verse 25. Matthew 20 and verse 25, it states, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are greatest exercise authority over them. We see that today in our society, the way things are being, people rule, most of them. Yet it shall not be so among you, he says. For whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. And just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave us an example, the foot washing that we just went through, that we are to serve others and think of their needs above ourselves and not be like the Gentiles and rule over them. So he was telling them that they were to teach the people. And that when they came to the truth, they gave them the truth, but they didn't force them into doing anything. They had to decide each on their own. And then let's go back to John 21:18. We're reading there. We jumped out of it. So let's go back to John 21:18. John 21:18, it states, most assuredly I say to you, when you were young, he's talking about Peter here, when you were young you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. So he's referring to Peter, he's telling him how his death is going to be and that he would be probably crucified, which he was. And he spoke, and this he spoke, significant by his death, he would glorify God when he spoke this. He said to him, again, follow me. So he told him again, told Peter to follow him. He was to stay focused. And he was to follow him through whatever, all his life. Stay focused. Now, let's go to Mark 16, verse 15. And Christ gives them something else. He tells them what their commission is, what they were to do the rest of their time on earth, or until Christ returns, just as he's telling us what we're to be doing until Christ returns. We'll start in Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he's telling them they must preach the gospel. It's not finished until there's no one left. until Christ returns. We must preach the gospel. That's what Christ told his disciples to do. Verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So the ones you teach the gospel, they're baptized, they'll have an opportunity to be saved. They will be saved, he says. But who does not believe will be condemned. And verse 17 then states, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Notice what they will do. He's telling them. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues or new languages or be able to speak the language of the people. They will not take up serpents, which are probably poisonous, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So it gives them a few things that they will be able to do. They will be able to cast out demons. They will be able to speak the language of the people, understand it, and speak it so that people can understand. It'll protect them from snakes, and it'll protect them from poisonous snakes and poisonous drinks. They'll be able to lay hands on the sick, and they will become restored to health. And he says, they'll be praying for the sick so that they can be restored as well. Let's go to Matthew 28:19. Look what else he tells them. It's a review of lot what John says, but he adds a little bit more. It says in verse 18 of Matthew 28, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth and in earth. So it says here that he has all power. He's all powerful. He's in control. And then verse 19, he tells them to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That's all over the world. And then he tells them to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So he tells them they're to make disciples. They're to baptize them. In verse 20, it says, teach, and in teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So he says, they're to teach the things I've taught you. The things that Christ taught them individually, they were to teach those future disciples, the people that they went and came in contact with. They were to teach them that. They were to baptize them, and they were to explain the truth, to make it as simple to them as possible so that they could grasp it and understand it. And he says, I will be with you to the end of the age. Now all these things he's told his disciples so far to do, since in the 40 days since he was resurrected, he had 40 days till he was going to ascend into heaven. How do you do with those things? How are you doing with them? How do I do with them? I asked that question to myself. We'll get a little more to that when we get to the end of the sermon. Let's go to Luke 24 and verse 44. Luke 24 and verse 44. In Luke 24 and verse 44, here Christ says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. It's Luke 24, verse 44. Verse 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So he opened their minds to grasp more of his understanding and truth. In verse 46, it says, and then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day. That was prophesied. It had to be. And then in verse 47, it says, and that repentance and the remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So they were to preach it all over. It's the same thing. He's repeating the same thing. Each gospel repeats this commission that they were disciples were to do. In verse 48, it says, and then, and you are witnesses of these things. You have seen it. And verse 49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you endure with the power from on high. So he was telling them that the Holy Spirit was coming, and they were to stay in Jerusalem till that time came. Now let's turn to Acts 1, verse 1 to 4. Acts 1. And we'll start in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." So they were waiting for that Holy Spirit to come. For John, he says, truly baptized with the water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" "Are you going to set up your kingdom now?" they asked again. And he responds and says, and he said to them, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own authority." So he's telling them that are they going to restore the kingdom now? And he tells them, it's not for you to know. Only the Father knows. So don't spend a lot of time trying to determine when he's going to return. But be prepared for it to happen tomorrow. That's what he's more or less telling them. Verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So they were to become those witnesses. He reminds them that again. They're going to be witnesses. Let's read verse 9 now. "So when he had spoken these things, and while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Verse 10, "And while they looked steadfast up towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in the white apparel, and also the men of Galilee. Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So he's told them to wait there for the Holy Spirit. He told them what they were going to do. They should be witnesses for him throughout the ends of the earth. And they were to be patient, wait a few more days, 10 days to Pentecost, and they would receive the Holy Spirit. And let's look at Luke, Mark 16, verse 9 and 10, 19 and 20. It tells us some more of the account, repeats it some. Mark 16, verse 19. "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached therewith the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the company and signs." So he was taken up just as what is showed in Acts. And then let's go to Luke 24, verse 50. Luke 24, verse 50. "And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them." So he prayed over them and asked that God would be with him and help them through this time. And he blessed them. In verse 51, "Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parting from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." So we see that these are the events that Jesus Christ did in those 40 days. He reminded them of everything he was teaching them while he was on earth, while he was a physical human being. In conclusion, what did he teach each of them? Can you remember them? The first thing he said is, don't be slow to heart. Don't be slow. Take it to heart and believe. Don't be slow not to hear. Apply it. Hear it and believe it. The second thing he told them was, preach the gospel. He made that strong. He repeated that in every gospel, and he seemed to be more emphasis as each one is read. As I read them to him, they were more important. Preach the gospel. He over and over again said, preach the gospel. Tell the world what's going to happen. The third one, he says, the Father sent him, and he sends everybody else. He's sending all of us to preach the gospel. He's sending us to do that. Then he says to Peter three different things. He says, feed my lambs, which is feed them, teach the little ones. Teach them. Help them. Teach the new children in faith, the new ones that come. Teach them. And then he says, tend my sheep. And he says, we're to take care of the sheep. Take care of them, that they have the things that they need. And then he says to feed my sheep. They were to teach the brethren his ways. And in 1 Peter 1, he tells us how not to do things and what to do as someone that's teaching. They're to be serving willingly, eagerly, be an example for others. And you can apply that in your family life. If you have children or your wife or whatever, you can apply that to yourself if that's how you're to live. You're to serve willingly, eagerly, and being examples for others. And don't lord over anybody. He made that quite clear. Then he tells them to follow him. They're to focus on him and let him lead each of us. Christ was motivating them. In those 40 days, he motivated his disciples to go forward, to press forward. And when the Holy Spirit came in 10 days, they were eager. And you can see what happens as they did. Let's go to Acts 2. And we'll see how quickly, when the Holy Spirit came, they were eager to do exactly what he said. And they were surprised how much he blessed them, how greatly he blessed them for doing what he said. Notice what it says in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, in the first verse of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all one accord in one place. And of course you know that the Spirit came upon them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled. The people were all amazed and marveled and said to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak our lands?" And yet they spoke as if they were scholars. And how is it that we hear each in our own language? Just those promises that Christ said they'd be able to hear in their own languages. And it says the different places that they heard them from. Verse 12, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What can this mean?" And others mocked, saying, "They are full of new wine." Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." And then he goes on and preaches a sermon. We've all read that sermon. A very powerful sermon. And when he gets done with the sermon, the people come to, let's see if I didn't write that down, but there's 5,000 people baptized. There's 3,000 people baptized that day. Peter got the gist. And all the other disciples got it too. When Christ encouraged them those 40 days, they were ready when the Holy Spirit came. And we must be ready now. We came through the days of unleavened bread. We renewed our commitment to God. And now we must be ready to do our part wherever we can in the life that we have ahead of us.